Committee of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. This is Thursday already, May 8th, and we are here for a work session on House Bill 5026, 5007, 5510, and 5511. I will open the work session on House Bill 5026, the Occupational Therapy Licensing Board. Please take it away, Mr. Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee. This is the board that we were discussing yesterday when we adjourned. A couple follow-up questions regarding out-of-state travel. There was a memo dated February 11, 2003 that was sent out to all agency directors from Gary Weeks, Director of the Department of Administrative Services, talking about continuation of reductions. One of the items in that memo was no out-of-state travel except that which is client-related for economic development or required for federal grants. This was to be applied to general fund and lottery funds only. However, the director's office encouraged all agencies to come to them to get approval for any out-of-state travel requests. So that's the practice. The official policy that came out was for general fund, lottery fund only. However, other funded agencies are going to the director's office for approval for out-of-state travel. Another question was asked about exceptions that have been made to that. Mr. Torgerson from Budget Management did some follow-up and provided some information to me. There have been 67 exceptions that have been approved by the DAS director's office. 33 of those are out-of-state travel that is totally being reimbursed totally by an outside source. In other words, perhaps a national organization or something of that sort. Four were covered by federal funds. 26 of those 67 exceptions were covered by other funds. Zero were funded completely by general funds. One was funded completely by lottery funds. One was funded a combination of other funds and lottery funds. And two were funded in a combination of other funds and general funds. And I've got specific purposes for those trips if anybody wants to know.
Questions?
That's the information that I've found.
Questions or comments?
Just a couple of them real quick. It's kind of curious. I'd like to know what's the normal travel that goes on before this was put in place? Is this a dramatic change? And secondly, obviously we had an important meeting after yesterday, and one of the issues raised was that you have a lot of agencies with mixed funds. They have some other funds, mm-hmm. some general funds in them, and you have people sitting next to each other in an office with mixtures of funds, and it's very difficult to decide which way you're going to go with these things. Better to have an overall thing of saying we're going to go the same way with everybody.
We actually have positions within budgets that are funded from several funding sources too, so without the consistency it causes some strange permutations.
I guess the only comment I'd make is that we should try to be consistent and treat everybody the same, whether mm-hmm. it's other funds, general funds, lottery funds, federal funds, because you just can't keep them all separated.
Excellent point. Thank you, Representative Bates. Any further comments or questions? The chair would accept a motion to approve the package for the Occupational Therapy Licensing Board with economic conditions and the status of the state budget, that out-of-state travel is being reduced statewide, so we would not put in policy package 204.
I'll so move, Madam Chair.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any objection to the motion? That motion is carried. I would now accept a motion to approve the budget of the Occupational Therapy Licensing Board as modified and amend page 1, line 30 of House Bill 5026 to $255,206.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Senator Gordley has moved. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any objection? The motion is carried. Mr. Olson.
excuse me, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, moving on down, talking about performance measures. Again, there was no substantive discussions on performance measures during the budget hearings, but the performance measures have been approved by the Performance Measure Committee, would recommend approval of the performance measures as submitted by the agency.
The chair would take a motion to approve the performance measures as submitted.
So moved, Madam Chair.
The motion has been made. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection? Motion is carried.
So quick. You get to do all the good stuff.
No.
When do we get the tough budget?
It's the experience.
Position vacancies, there are no vacancies for this agency. Ending balance, the ending balance in the governor's balanced budget was $166,533. The ending balance now with the LFO recommendations that the committee has adopted would be $171,761 or 16.2 months worth of expenditures. However, the board currently licenses one time a year, and so the ending balance must be adequate to carry it through the entire year. And I know that there was a request yesterday to look at what the lowest month ending balance is, and I apologize to the subcommittee. I did not do that for this particular agency, although you'll see in the two budgets that will work after this one that information is provided. It appears that the lowest ending balance on any given month was $127,556 for this particular agency.
And it appears the renewals are right after that. Their cash flow starts picking up again in March. And April and May, it's pretty good.
And I will remind the committee of the discussion yesterday that this agency is converting to a biennialized licensing system, and so LFO is recommending that they be allowed to carry a little higher ending balance than what would typically be approved to help see them through that change in that process, and then we'll take a closer look at it during the 2005 Legislative Assembly as we review their budget.
Any questions on ending balance, comments? Thank you.
That's it on that one.
I will close the work session on House Bill 5026, open a work session on House Bill 5007.
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, this is the budget for the Board of Clinical Social Workers. Again, you have before you the memorandum running that takes us through the LFO recommended changes to this budget and the attached spreadsheet and also a cash flow analysis for this board. technical changes to the budget that, as I mentioned yesterday, you'll be seeing on all these budgets, merit increases. The budget was reduced $3,672 for the salary freeze. Inflation adjustments, the budget was reduced $3,920. And then again, the Attorney General rate reduction resulted in a reduction of $4,115. Again, a reminder of the subcommittee, other assessment adjustments will be coming at a later date.
Any questions on the technical budget adjustments? Mr. Olson.
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, I'd like to take just a minute to explain a procedural issue here, a procedural item.
This is a former of a procedural item, so I advise you all to pay close attention here. You're going to see this one quite a number of times.
I will refer you to page 305 of the spreadsheet for this board, clinical social workers. At the bottom of that page, you'll see an 070 package, which is revenue shortfall. Each of the state agencies are required to build a budget based on current law. when there are fees involved, the agencies have to build the budget based on current fees, fees that are in place when they're building this budget. Because this board needs a fee increase, there had to be a package that reduced the budget by whatever amount was necessary to continue the levels of service for this agency at the lower fee level. And so that's why you see the 070 package here, reducing their budget by $179,190. You will then see policy package 104, which in essence, if you approve that package, which LFO is recommending approval, you're saying to the agency, okay, go out and raise your fees to the levels necessary to continue the function of the agency. So in one sense, in the 070, we're taking it away, and then policy package 104, we're restoring it. It's just a technical way things have to be done based on current budget, budgeting practices and budgeting laws, and the requirement to build a budget based on current law.
I'm sure.
Senator Vestry, I had to kick this around for about half an hour, and I was thinking that Mr. Olson was going to kick me out of his office because I was asking so many questions. Maybe if I could just kind of give you my non-LFO explanation here, and that is in order to keep the bookkeeping straight, you have to take the old fee structure out and put the new fee structure in.
Mm.
Now, am I correct?
That's correct.
And the new fee structure, of course, takes it has some aspects that change the bottom line number. So that is the next area that we should probably discuss here.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Senator Mezzoli.
So that explains why we're losing $179,000 and gaining $161,000, whatever it is. Yeah.
Why we're
it's going to work out, I'll trust you.
Why we're cutting more money out than we're bringing back in.
I'll stay with you.
And that, I think, is we're going to talk about how that relates to the inflation adjustments. Anyone else have any questions? Representative Smith, you were...
I'm just listening. I'll just absorb it and...
And what I'm so interested in everybody asking about this is because we're going to see this maneuver in all the budgets.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, to answer Senator Messerly's question specifically, part of the reason it doesn't match is because there was some, in the reduction, there was some monies, some a limitation for the expenses of the hearings officer panel that in through this process was found that it wasn't necessary, it wasn't needed. And so when that money was restored, it was restored less than approximately $18,000 that was reduced for the Central Hearings Officer panel. That's why those numbers don't match. And if any of the members would like to spend some time with me going through this process, I'll be glad to do it. Sometimes it's easier to illustrate it on a whiteboard or something, but
he is incredibly patient with stupid questions. I've already asked him also.
Madam Chair, I would suggest that's a privilege of the chair, which we'll defer to you. Certainly wouldn't want to step on your toes in this issue. Or, willing to defer, I'll take your word for it.
Madam Chair, I'm a man of faith. I'm going to take your word.
I think that's our signal to continue.
Okay. So, moving on to Policy Package 104, as I mentioned, this does require a fee. I'm referring to it as a fee restoration because during the 1999 Legislative Assembly, the board was asked to temporarily reduce their fees because of a high-end imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
So they did that. At the time, it was intended to be only one biennium, but during the last session, 2001, their ending balance was still a little bit high, so they continued that fee reduction for another biennium. It's gotten to the point now where their ending balance is within reason, and so they will be restoring, actually not to the level of 1999, but they will be restoring increasing fees during the 2003-2005 interim biennium. And to further complicate the issue, anytime an agency raises fees administratively through administrative rule during an interim, they are required under Senate Bill 333 that came from, I believe, the early 90s, maybe 93, maybe 95 session. They're required to come back to the next legislative assembly to ratify those fee increases. Now, I tell you that for a couple reasons. One is that this board will be required to come back to the 2005 session through a bill and ratify the fees that they will raise. You will see in the next budget that we will work, that happens, and there's a fee bill there associated with that budget to ratify those fees. So, again, that's another process that we have to follow. So LFO is recommending approval of Package 104 at a modified amount. There is a reduction in the Attorney General line item for that package because of the reduction in the Attorney General rate.
Questions or comments on Policy Package 104? Anyone have objections to Policy Package 104? That's legal.
Okay, Policy Package 102, this permits the board to purchase two filing cabinets. Again, the storage space that is required by the board exceeds what their storage capacity is now, so they're requesting limitation to approve or to purchase two filing cabinets.
Does it feel great to micromanage?
Yes. Well, I think I object. Two.
Yeah, I tempted to say, what color? Will they be new or used?
In my conversations with the executive director, she has assured me that they will shop for the best price, whether it be new or used.
Well, I, for one, am very gratified to know that.
I might say, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, that when you have a small agency and a small budget like this, purchasing two filing cabinets is a hit to the budget. And so they've come in with a policy package for added limitation. Again, this will be a one-time thing. It won't be back in next biennium's budget.
Well, we certainly don't want them to have too many filing cabinets. Are there any further snide comments on Policy Package 102? Mm-hmm. Any objections to Policy Package 102? Please proceed.
Thank you. Policy Package 103 provides limitation for the agency to move, to relocate their office. They are looking at moving to another location. The details of that has not been finalized. It's not a definite thing yet, but LFO is recommending approval of the package with the request that DAS unschedule the limitation pending final rent costs and the final details of that move or work out.
Questions or comments on Policy Package 103, the moving of the agency? Any objections to the package? Okay, let's go ahead and talk about bill amendments.
LFO is recommending that you approve this budget for the Board of Clinical Social Workers at the amount of $498,169 and 2.50 FTE.
So moved, Madam Chair?
Yes.
I've never done that before. But I do.
You're making the motion?
I'd like to make that motion, yes.
Okay, we've got a motion to approve the budget of the Board of Clinical Social Workers as modified and to amend Line 5 on House Bill 5007 to $498,169. Is there discussion on the motion?
Madam Chair?
Senator Nasser.
Procedural question. Don't we get a review or approval from BAM when we do these budgets?
Madam Chair, Senator Messerly, the Budget Management Division actually did their presentation during the budget hearing. BAM actually did their presentation of the governor's budget during the budget hearing.
Okay.
If you have questions or of them, I'm sure they are here to answer those.
Do you have questions?
Well, you know, there are some changes from that budget, and I just would be kind of nice to have on the record if they approve that, I would think. Am I asking for a process here that's unnecessary? I don't mean to do that.
I would assume that they are talk to us about how you interact with that agency, would you?
Madam Chair, Senator Messerly, BAM works for the governor, so they are supportive of the governor's budget. And so I'm assuming if they came to the table, they would so state, which means that they would not approve of the LFO recommendations on record.
Okay. And they've already been on the record.
They've already presented the governor's budget.
Thanks.
Okay, we have a motion. Are there any objections to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. I would accept the motion to send the bill as amended to the full committee with a do pass recommendation.
So moved.
Representative Smith makes the motion. Is there any discussion of the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. We need some carriers. Representative Smith, would you carry?
Certainly.
Thank you. Do we do floor carriers at this point?
Yes.
Representative Smith, would you carry this also on the floor?
Sure.
Senator Gordy, would you do the honors on the Senate side?
Certainly.
Thank you. Let's continue with the performance measures. Oh, you're writing.
That's fine. During the budget hearing of this agency, there was no substantial discussion regarding the performance measures. They were reviewed. They were also reviewed by the performance measure committee and were found acceptable. You have them in your budget binder on page 9A, and LFO would recommend that the subcommittee approve the performance measures as submitted by the agency.
Discussion on performance measures. I'll accept a motion to approve the performance measures as submitted.
So moved.
Oh, tie on that one. I'll give this one to Senator Gordley. You had the last one. We have a motion to approve the performance measures as submitted. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection? Without objection, the motion is carried.
With regard to position vacancies, this agency does have one position vacancy, the executive director position. Is currently vacant. The executive director has retired, although she has come back to work and continue on with the agency until they hire a replacement. The board, I understand, is going to begin interviewing for the replacement next week, and they're in the process of hiring. So this is one vacancy that LFO is not recommending be accepted.
It's going to be really tough for the agency to continue if we take this seat.
Yeah, that's right.
Considering they're going to have some new filing cabinets and all.
Although, Madam Chair, you do have one board that does not have an executive director, and the person that presented the budget to you was the executive assistant.
That's true.
Although I'm not recommending that we eliminate this position.
A discussion on this, snide comments, jokes, and
no.
Continue.
The ending balance for the 2003 governor's balanced budget was $72,383. At the LFO recommended level, the ending balance will now be $85,382, or a 4.1 month worth of expenditures. I will look to the spreadsheet, the cash flow analysis here. during the previous biennium, during the 103 biennium, the current lowest month ending balance was $127,000 or 6.1 months. Again, for 03-05, that will go down to approximately 4 months. So, again, this agency is within within the guidelines, the rule of thumb, of 3 to 6 month ending balance.
Discussion or questions on the ending balance? I will close the work session on House Bill 5007 and excuse me, open a work session on Senate Bill 5510 and 5511.
Hey, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, this is the budget for the Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists. Again, we'll go through the memo. The technical adjustments for this budget, the salary freeze and merit increase freeze, reduced the budget by $9,984. The inflation reduction was $2,289. And with the Attorney General rate reduction, it adjusted the budget by $2,928.
Questions on the technical budget adjustments? Please proceed.
Okay. Again, this is a budget where you have the 070 package because of a revenue shortfall under the current fee structure. However, this agency did raise fees during the interim, and we will be making a recommendation to ratify those fees after we finish this particular budget bill when we move on to 5511. Package 10100 restores the reductions that were made in 070. It does require the fee ratification, as I mentioned. These fees were approved during the last session by the Budget Committee and implemented by administrative rule. This package, in addition to simply restoring those cuts, also included the reclassification of two positions from an Office Specialist 2 to Administrative Specialist 2 and an increase of a position by 0.25 FTE. Along the same lines that we had talked about earlier today with regards to out-of-state travel and salary freezes, at the request of the co-chairs, we are applying the same budgeting principles across all agencies, regardless of fund source. And with that, we have been asked to look very closely at any reclassifications of positions and increases in positions. And with that in mind, the LFO recommends that this package be approved to restore the reductions taken in the 070, less an adjustment for the Attorney General rate, but deny the reclass of the two positions and deny the increase of the 0.25 FTE.
Questions or comments? Senator Gordon?
Madam Chair, could we hear again what the impact will be on the agency with that denial?
Mr. Olson, I don't know why I get you off of making your notes then.
No. Madam Chair, if I might, the agency director is here, and perhaps she could address that.
Please come forward.
Last time I didn't speak loud enough. Is this okay? For the record, my name is Julia Cooley. I'm the administrator of the Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists. And to Madam Chair, Senator Gordley, to your question, actually, Rick had talked to me last night about the recommendation, and we will live within LFO's recommendation, but in terms of the impact on the agency and why we made this request, unlike some economic situations now in Oregon, our board is growing. And we license, as you can tell, mental health professionals. And there is an incredible amount of unemployment in that profession right now. But people currently are seeing licensure as perhaps another avenue to enhance their opportunities for employment. And so we're seeing a radical increase. And we've also mandated registered internship, which is a postgraduate registration of individuals who are in a job but are under supervision by another licensee who has experience. It is this is very common in the mental health profession. You will see it with psychologists and social workers also. For about 2 years, they're supervised. And what has happened is we're seeing increases in the graduates in the classes, and so we're seeing an increase in interns. And again, people are maybe in nonprofits not being paid right now. So that was part of the reason that the 0.25, because we just have a very serious workload right now. But I realize that we're not unique in that in state government.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions? Or Mr. Olson, you have a comment.
Well, Madam Chair, I was just going to comment in the conversations that I had with the executive director. I have encouraged her to keep accurate counts of the licensees and the number of licensees, and to build a case to show how that has, if it has in fact, increased over the last few years and how it continues to increase. And if there is sufficient increase, I will work with her and with the Department of Administrative Services, and we'll review that during the interim. And if it's necessary, we would encourage the board to come back to the emergency board with a request.
I might comment also that I would be very interested to see taking a look at some kind of temporary help rather than adding an FTE if the need emerges in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Any further discussion on policy package 100? Any objection to the LFO recommendation?
Madam Chair, no objection. I would support giving that direction of coming to the e-board, but also looking at the halftime or the temporary position approach. I look at this board and its function together with the overall crisis we're experiencing in the delivery of mental health services in our state. And so this is something that we should keep our eye on, and that report to the e-board I would think would be critical.
Mr. Olson, could you have information to that effect included in the budget report then?
Madam Chair, we could do that.
Thank you.
Not, excuse me, Madam Chair, not as an official budget note, just as a comment that the board was encouraged to
work with LFO over
right.
The interim and develop the case to come to the e-board if the need for additional staffing is evident in the growth of the workload, and that the committee recommends that the board, if they can make that case, look at the feasibility of hiring temporary help rather than adding FTE to the agency. Let's proceed to the bill amendment.
Okay. Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, LFO is recommending that you approve the budget for the Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists in the amount of $399,276 and 2.0 FTE.
Any discussion on this? The chair would accept a motion to approve the budget of the Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists as modified, and amend line 5 of Senate Bill 5510 to read $399,276. Senator Gordley moves. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. We need carriers. Senator Gordon, would you carry this in full?
Yes.
And would you also carry it on the House floor?
On the Senate floor.
I'd be happy to go back to the House
for a moment, but yes.
And Representative Bates, would you do the honors on the House floor?
Yes, Madam Chair.
I would also would accept a motion to send Senate Bill 5510 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
So moved.
Representative Smith, so moves. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection? Without objection, the motion is carried. I would accept a motion.
Madam Chair, may I interrupt?
Okay.
This next motion recommendation actually should not be on here. It's a separate bill. There's a separate memo here, and if
the
you would like, we could continue. we could continue through this and then come to Senate Bill 5511.
Sounds like a great plan to me.
Performance measures. There was a discussion during this budget regarding perhaps including a performance measure related to the outcomes of investigations. After discussions and conversations with members of the Performance Measure Review Committee, it was decided that this issue would be better addressed as a statistic rather than as a performance measure. It's really difficult to have a performance measure that measures the outcome of a disciplinary case. In other words, measuring the number of revocations as opposed to suspensions. There really isn't a way to set a goal. When you have a performance measure, you have a goal. There's not a way to set a goal for the number of revocations you're going to have or the number of suspensions. Each one of those is handled on a case-by-case basis. So we're recommending that simply be reviewed as a statistic during future budget presentations, and LFO would recommend that the performance measures be approved as submitted by the agency.
Senator Mazzoni.
Thank you, Madam Chair. During our budget presentations, we had several of these boards that presented it in a way that you could follow through and not necessarily judge whether how it was resolved, but see that they were resolved. Is this a method of reporting that we're going to see on all these boards then? Or?
Madam Chair, Senator Messerly, when we had this discussion, we asked all the boards to come back with a report of their disciplinary cases and how the results were in the format that this committee liked. And they have done that, and I know I have it. I just can't put my fingers on it real quickly for this agency, but all the boards that we asked to do that responded with that. And so we will ask the boards during the next session when they make their budget presentation to bring that report with them in that format.
Mr. Olson, how does that, a request like this that would go across the spectrum of boards and commissions, be introduced into the discussion? I mean, certainly you wouldn't want to stick it into every single budget requirement, but there must be a discussion about the format of the presentations. And I think we all found the dispensation of the complaints to be real valuable information.
Mm-hmm.
So is it possible for the committee to make it known that we would like this to be a standard piece of each of these presentations?
Madam Chair, I think we have communicated that to the agencies, to the boards,
okay,
based on the committee discussion that took place during the budget hearings. And I think you are on record as indicating that's the method and the format that you'd like that information presented in. We in the Legislative Fiscal Office have certainly made notes to that effect, and we will make sure that each of the agencies have that as part of their presentation in the future.
Senator, are you okay with this?
Madam Chair, if I might, I think it's really important. Because as we review the complaints and how it's handled, some of them are very serious. And if we see a pattern of, this isn't speaking to this board necessarily at all, but if we see a pattern where the boards are not dealing with that in a very in a succinct and articulate way, I think that does send a signal to us that we need to pay attention.
I agree.
So as long as we can track that, I don't care what form it's in, I think it's very important.
Representative Banks.
I've tried a few questions also, and they are about performance measures, because this is a field in which abuse can occur. It's very serious when it does occur. I had a couple of questions. First is a sort of superfluous one for the staff. What's according to the note I'm reading here, you had a conversion of a member. How do you I think it meant conversation, I hope. You didn't convert somebody to something.
What was a separation?
Representative Bates, word processing is great. It checks for spelling. It doesn't check for...
Okay, I see this.
Hallelujah.
I just thought maybe you had a religious epiphany there and something happened that I wasn't aware of. Anyway, more seriously, there were two issues with this board that I remember from the hearings that concerned me. One, Senator Messonnier has always brought forward, is how we're tracking complaints, how fast they're processed, how many are processed. And I would respectfully submit that the number of complaints you get quite likely can be a performance measure. There are national standards for this. I've attended meetings nationally for a board of medical examiners in which they looked at a like number of physicians in a group of 5 or 10,000 per state and saw that some states had practically no complaints, other states had much higher number of complaints, and it was a reflection of how active the board was in reviewing physician complaints and dealing with them. So I would ask that the Performance Measure Review Committee at least consider looking at some national standards of comparisons of boards.
So this would be an issue related to the number of complaints rather than to the dispensation of
them. Right. You'd be looking at a certain number of individuals, and you could expect potentially some problems out there. If you're falling way off the national average, you may want to ask yourself, are we properly looking at this, or do we have an exemplary number of people, or do we have too many complaints? I mean, there are some measures you can look at nationally on that, and so it would still be something that would help guide the board. As an example, the Board of Medical Examiners in Oregon is noted for being a lot more active than a lot of boards are. That's a good thing. And other boards in different states are looked at for not being active enough. So I'm just drawing that information out. But just to walk away from that, I think, is maybe something they should reconsider. Having said that, I think it's something that the Performance Measure Review Committee may look at. My next question is, who is the Performance Measure Review Committee? I am not aware of. It's my ignorance.
Secret.
A secret committee that meets in.
Madam Chair, Representative Bates, this is a committee that's made up of a few folks, mainly the Progress Board staff, a staff person from Legislative Fiscal. And I don't remember beyond that, but there's four or five folks that are on this committee that look at these performance measures.
I would just ask that we ask them to reconsider their decision on that, look at it, and look at some national standards and see if there are some national standards that would guide them for all the boards they look at to see if appropriate numbers are being, complaints are being looked at for the number of people being served.
I would think that the number of complaints that came in over time would be a reasonable performance measure, because certainly you would want to see that decline as a measure of success. That I can see the issue that you described with how the complaints were dealt with, but I would concur with Representative Bates that a performance measure that gauges the number of complaints that the board is receiving over time, and hopefully have that be declining, or if it's not declining, a reasonable explanation for that would help the committee gauge how well the agency was functioning and overseeing the behavior of the members. Representative Martin.
Might I make a slight tweak to that? It's not just the number of complaints, but the number of complaints per licensees. So, and i.e. the rate. So rate per 1,000 or rate per 100 licensees.
Yeah.
And then you can compare to other states.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Senator Messonnier.
And I guess this probably goes without saying, but the categories of the complaints I think would be important to track on an individual basis. But the other thing I want to say is that as we're dealing with the liability situation in many of these practices, I think it's important to know how these boards are dealing with complaints, and if there's a pattern of liability costs going up and a lack of activity of the licensing boards. I don't know if you can accurately correlate that, but I think it would show an indication that would be beneficial to us.
So would it work then to have a reporting mechanism where there was a performance measure that gauged the number of complaints in related to the people that were registered, and then as a backup, a delineation of the complaints broken down into categories, and then some detail about how they were dealt with.
And that could be uniform across various boards, and same problems, unfortunately. It'd be interesting. And it might be helpful to the boards.
In terms of that measurement,
for the
for the record, I'm Julia Cooley with the Board of Counselors and Therapists, Madam Chair. It seems to me that with public awareness, it seems to me you might spike up, actually, as you're having a more aggressive campaign to make the public aware of what their rights are. And then some of us are not mandatory licensure, so it's looking at creative ways to get brochures and information out there. So part of that, I'm not afraid of the measurement. In fact, it's what we do. And to be able to put some more muscle behind that would be great. But we might see a spike over a period of time. I mean, you may see both pieces, where you have reductions in some areas because of continuing education and better kind of training, if you will, as licensee, as individuals become licensed, but also as the public becomes more aware of what their rights are, you may see that trend go the other direction, and that's a good thing.
And it would be interesting to see what impact public awareness and public education would have on it. Mr. Olson, could you please put that into the committee's recommendation on performance measures?
Yes, I'll be glad to do that, Madam Chair.
Could we have a motion then to approve the performance measures as submitted with the amendment of requesting an additional performance measure with clarification on the backup information that we talked about?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Representative Bates has made the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion is carried. You'll give you time to write all that down.
I got most of it.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, there are no vacancies in this board. The ending balance in the governor's budget was $98,143. With the LFO recommendations, that would increase that ending balance to $143,459, or 8.6 months worth of expenditures. Again, we need to look at the lowest month ending balance at any point during the year, and that ending balance was $59,020, which is actually 3.5 months worth of expenditures, which is, again, a reasonable ending balance.
Discussion on the ending balance situation? Okay. I will then close the work session on Senate Bill 5510, open a work session on Senate Bill 5511.
Madam Chair and member of the subcommittee, Senate Bill 5511 is the fee bill that we have been discussing with this budget. It ratifies the fees that were changed by the board through administrative rule during the 2001-03 biennium. Again, these fees were approved by the legislature in 2001 during the budget hearings, and the budget that has been approved now by the subcommittee is dependent upon these fees being ratified.
Discussion on the LFO recommendation to approve the bill. Chair will accept a motion to send Senate Bill 5511 to full with a due pass recommendation.
So moved.
Representative Smith has moved. The motion is on the floor. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, the motion is carried. And with the kind consent of the carriers of the previous bill, I would just pile this one on.
Sure.
Close the work session, excuse me, on Senate Bill 5511. And before I adjourn the committee, I notice we have a schedule.
Yes, Madam Chair, this is the schedule that will take you out through the next couple of weeks. I will point out those that are listed in yellow have been changes from the previous schedule that you had received. Again, this was some just flip-flopping some boards to accommodate LFO analysts that were supposed to be in two places at one time.
I appreciate getting this. Mr. Olson, is there any way that the members of the committee can get the information on the LFO recommendations before the meeting?
Madam Chair, that was discussed yesterday, and yes, we will be doing that. We'll get them to you probably the day before the work session, if that's suitable to the board. We'll get those to your offices and deliver those similar to the way we did with the budget hearings, the packet of information that you're receiving here.
I think we would all really appreciate that, and I would very much encourage the members as you go through those packets, if there are issues that you want to bring up in the subcommittee, let me know so that we can make sure that we've got the information at hand to discuss the issues.
Madam Chair.
Senator Gordon.
How would you like to handle attachment of budget notes?
We need to okay the budget notes with the co-chairs, so we'll need to have those in advance, as much in advance as you possibly can, so that we can get them into the co-chair schedule.
Thank you. And I'll just give you a heads up. I'm looking at the possibility of a budget note for the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission and also for the psychologist.
Please get those as soon as you can.
Will do.
Madam Chair and Senator Gourley, if I would suggest that you get those, a copy of those to the subcommittee chair and then a copy to the LFO analyst, and the LFO analyst can and put them through the process with the co-chairs.
And Senator Gordy, yeah. Even just conceptually, mm-hmm. not yes. paying a lot of attention to wordsmithing.
All right.
Senator, Representative Mark.
just a question. I was busy writing, and did we do anything with the 5008, the fee bill for clinical social workers?
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair and Representative March, Senate Bill 5008, I believe, it was deemed was not necessary because those fees have not been raised yet, and so there's no ratification. Those fees will actually be raised July 1st or after, which will be in the next biennium. They'll raise those administratively, and then we'll have to have a bill in the 2005 session to be ratified.
Is there any problem, since this is the board that actually has a vacancy and the director, will they have any problem instituting those administratively?
Madam Chair, Representative March, my discussions with the executive director, she has already started the process to file administrative rule changes.
Okay, just want to make sure we weren't leaving them kind of in the lurch.
I believe the executive director is going to be, they're actually going to be double filling that position for a period of time so she can train the new executive director.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments or issues to be raised before I adjourn the committee? The committee is adjourned, and we'll get back together on Monday.
And, Madam Chair, now that we're off the record, I have the